Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States, and we've already seen quick action on Obamacare, getting the U.S. out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the executive order he signed on the oil pipelines. He also has placed a hiring freeze on non-military federal workers and restored the Mexico City policy, which cuts off federal funding for organizations that provide abortions. He's promised to name a replacement for the U.S. Supreme Court for the late Justice Antonin Scalia. The Republicans kept their promise and did not bring Obama's choice, Merrick Garland, up for a vote. Now, shortly, they will be looking at President Trump's yet unnamed nominee. Unfortunately, one name that has been talked about a lot is William Pryor. My guest today is Philip Jaureghi. He's president of the Judicial Action Group. Thanks, Philip, for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Diane.
So you guys do a lot of looking into judicial nominees. Is that your main focus?
We call judicial renewal, which is restoring the judiciary to its proper role of deciding cases rather than legislating from the bench. But as we do that, one of the main things we do is review and research judicial nominees.
Okay. So it's putting the judiciary back where it's supposed to be.
Exactly, which is deciding cases, not making social policy for the nation.
Oh, yeah, and we've seen them doing rampant changes to
yes.
our social policy over the last number of years.
Absolutely.
Now, Judge Pryor is a Bush appointee. He has served since 2004 on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit in Alabama.
Right.
He's 54, so he's one of the younger ones that President Trump is looking at, I believe. He's also served as Alabama's Attorney General, taking Jeff Sessions' place when he was elected to the U.S. Senate. So
That's
Pryor
right.
is on the short list of 21 nominees that President-elect at that point, Trump
right.
said he would choose from that list. But
right.
Pryor has some prior problems, I'll put it like that.
That's
What's,
right.
What are some of the main problems with his, he's pro-life. But to me, just looking at the pro-life issue is not enough when you're looking at any nominee or politician. It's got to be more than just pro-life that you have to look at.
Absolutely. And folks in Pennsylvania know that very well. That's been a big issue up there.
Yeah.
He has some really, really troubling rulings from 2011, and they're troubling both on a policy level, but also just from a judicial philosophy standpoint. They're horrible cases. They're not textualist opinions. They're, you know, what we call activist opinions, where they're literally creating new rights out of no basis in law and not even any basis in prior court decisions that are binding. So it's very concerning. And, you know, we can talk about those cases specifically, but that's an outline.
So he's basically an activist judge, at least when it comes to some, even though he's been touted as an originalist by some conservative organizations who have touted mm-hmm. him as originalist or a textualist, where he looks at the Constitution and supposedly makes his rulings determined, you know, looking at what the writers of the Constitution originally meant. But that's not always the case. So William Pryor has some problems, and he's not necessarily a textualist. He doesn't always look at the words of the Constitution and makes his ruling depending on what the writers of the Constitution really meant, even though some conservative organization thinks he's the guy for the job. So what are some of his problems?
Sure. There's a 2011 case. It's called the Glenn versus Brumby case. And essentially what it was, there was a man who worked over in the Georgia State Capitol who decided he thought he wanted to be a woman. And he was terminated because he talked about using the women's restrooms, and his boss thought that was a concern, of course. He was terminated, and he sued. And Judge Pryor found in his favor. And in order to find in his favor, Judge Pryor had to, for the first time, create a new, quote, transgender right.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what people think about transgender rights, and I think every one of your listeners is going to disagree with that concept, that's not something that judges can create. If that If that could be such a right that could be created, which is a whole other question, arguably it could only come through the legislative branch, never through the judicial. So for Judge Pryor to create it for the first time without any support in the statute, the Constitution, or even prior court cases was activist, to say the least, and it was very untextualist.
Well, yeah, because he just grabbed that out of thin air.
That's right.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And there is a Supreme Court case. The Supreme Court did take up the case in the Clouster, Virginia school case where the...
That's right.
Yeah, so that...
That's right. But even to this day, the Supreme Court has still never created a transgender
well,
right.
Well, that's true. Not up to this point. But they
now,
have. But they did
they
the same...
Try to do it. They may try to do it in Gloucester, but they haven't done it yet.
Right,
they certainly had it done back in 2011 when Pryor issued this ruling.
Right, because this... Yeah, because that thing would just... The whole issue was just starting to heat up at that point.
That's right.
Where it's very much on the front burner now. And wow. So he's not, as he's being touted, as a true originalist.
He's not. He's not. And this case is absolutely fatal.
And that's
Judge
that's very scary. I actually have a quote here from, LGBTQ activists have praised him because of that decision. And a quote here from Slate, this is a partial quote, says, as a Supreme Court justice, Pryor would be almost certain to invalidate the recent spat of anti-trans legislation, including North Carolina's odious bathroom bill. Of course, that's a quote
that's
from
right.
Slate, because I don't consider North Carolina's bathroom bill odious. I think
that's
a very
right.
good idea. So,
So this isn't us talking, Diane, at this point. These are the liberal transgender advocates saying that they're counting Pryor in their favor on the Gloucester case, that he'll create a transgender right at the Supreme Court. And it's hard to argue with him. He's already done it.
Yeah, he's got the track record to show that he'd rule on their side for sure.
Yeah.
So that's not good at all, because that issue of transgenderism is front and center in the courts, and if he's willing to do that on the 11th Circuit, if he were to do the same thing on the Supreme Court, then that means that every business would be forced to allow men who think they're women into the women's restroom.
That's right. That's
wow.
right. And the thing that's most concerning about it, the case is bad enough on its own, okay? But what it says to us, and anyone reading it, is if he could do this in that type of case, what would keep him from doing it in other cases? And in fact, he has, but it just says so much about his judicial philosophy and so much about, it's so much the type of judge that we fight against, and why in the world would we turn out at the polls in November to elect a president to give us this type of justice on the Supreme Court?
That's
the answer
sure.
is we wouldn't, we didn't.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, we have to wait and see. But there was another case also that you had
that's right.
brought to our attention. And what was that case? And give us the details on that.
Yeah, that was the Keaton versus Anderson Willie case. And in some ways, it's even more chilling, because here you have a female Christian student who's in a graduate program at Augusta State University, which, by the way, is a state actor under the law. They're a state university. So it's state action.
Mm-hmm.
And she was literally kicked out of school because she wouldn't submit to a remediation plan to change her biblical views on sexuality.
Which I guess they considered anti-gay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, she was asked about what her views were, and she's a Christian like tens of millions of Americans.
Yeah.
And she holds a biblical view on Christianity. This is nothing shocking here. But because they asked her views and what she believed, they said, you're going to have to remediate those views. In other words, you're going to have to change them. Well, she can't go in and rewrite the Bible.
Well, some churches and Christians are trying to do that, but
Well, and they told her part of the remediation plan, too, is they, quote, suggested that she attend a gay pride parade.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course she wasn't going to submit to this re-education remediation plan. She was expelled. The case went up on appeal, and Pryor sided with Augusta State University against Jennifer Keaton, this student.
Saying that she was wrong, that she had no right to live out her beliefs.
That's right. And part of the rationale for the opinion was saying, well, look, we're not singling her out specifically, because we would say this about anybody that had her views.
They're just singling out Christians. Yeah.
Which is even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so it's not, we're not just discriminating against her. We're discriminating against every traditional Bible-believing Christian. And somehow that's supposed to make it okay.
That's supposed to make us feel better.
And somehow that just does away with the entire First Amendment.
Yeah, for sure. And this was a state university.
Absolutely. So, and what's interesting about it, I'm sorry, Diane, I keep...
Go ahead.
But what's interesting about it, too, is here we have the text of the Constitution and the First Amendment that explicitly protects free exercise religious rights.
Mm-hmm.
The court, prior included, sided with the university, and they were relying, the university was relying on some private ethics code that somebody made up. So here you have something that's not even in the Constitution that's being elevated above it, while her First Amendment constitutional rights are completely being ignored.
Wow. Because that's a definite example of the government interfering with the Christian's ability to live out her beliefs.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, two strikes against him, for sure.
Yeah, and that's one reason why, too. I think you're seeing in the news, I think Judge Pryor has pretty, they're sort of still saying he's in the final list, but they're also saying he's fading, and
okay.
I think that's putting it well. I think he has faded. I would be shocked at this point if President Trump nominated him, because if he did, I think Pryor would be defeated in the Senate. I don't think you'd have red state senators who are going to run for re-election in Republican primaries wanting to say they voted for Judge Pryor based on what he's done.
Right. And unfortunately, Republicans do. I hope you're right, because unfortunately, Republicans do have a track record of naming nominees and those nominees being confirmed who are not true originalists.
Yes, but it's a new day.
That is a new day. We're not talking about a politician in the White House now, and that's a big plus right there.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot of us Christians, and not just Christians, but social conservatives, have been burned so many times on these Supreme Court fights over the last 40 years, 50% of the time, that we're saying, no, you know, you fooled me once, twice, three, four, five times, but not this time. We're tired of it, and we're not going to let it happen again.
Yeah, I think November election kind of told the Republican Party that, too.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And, some of the ones that you name over the last 40 years that Republicans nominated to the Supreme Court but turned out not to be conservative, true conservatives, were Stevens, O'Connor, Kennedy, Souter, and then Harriet Myers, but she was not confirmed.
That's right. And I think you said, too, just to clarify, those were people who were not conservative. And
right,
so
true, yeah.
One thing that's encouraging to me is that the last time we had a Republican nomination to the Supreme Court, the first name put forward by President Bush was Harriet Myers.
Mm-hmm.
She was rejected by conservatives. The president was forced to withdraw that nomination, and instead he nominated Samuel Alito, who has been incredible.
Yeah.
And so we have
very good precedent
for getting it right the last time, and we just need to follow that playbook and get it right this time, too.
Yeah, for sure. Because I know President Trump, his campaign was, a lot of it was on the Supreme Court nominee.
Absolutely.
And that's why he issued that list of 21 that he said he would choose from. Unfortunately, Pryor's name is on that. I think it'd be tragic if he were to decide to name Pryor, but we'll see. Well, like you said, I think that Pryor is fading, and which is a good thing. So what can we do as citizens to make sure the right person gets on, I can't really say that because we don't have the ear of President Trump.
Yeah.
But whoever is nominated, what can we do as citizens to make sure that if it's a good nominee, that person gets confirmed, or if it's a bad nominee, that person does not get confirmed?
Yeah, and I think the first thing that we can do right now, and this may sound kind of like an afterthought, but it's true. We may not have the ear of President Trump, but we do have the ear of the King of Kings, God. And so please pray. I mean, it sounds like, just pray. No, I mean, really pray that the one person that God has chosen will be picked and will be the next justice on the court, and that everybody else will fade.
Yeah.
Because God's ruling and reigning. But the other thing, once someone is named, we're going to research them, and if we already have researched the people. But if there's a poor nominee, we'll talk about it. If it's someone that needs to be voted against, then we're going to be letting your listeners know and everyone across the nation know.
Yeah.
I'm very hopeful that we're going to get a good name, someone that we can support. But we're going to have to just wait and see on that point. But in the meantime, seriously, be praying and taking this before God.
Yeah, and that's what we definitely need to be doing. I sent an alert earlier. It was probably Friday after the inauguration, you know, for folks to pray for President Trump, Vice President Pence, and the cabinet, because they have a big task ahead of them, of which one is the naming of a replacement for Justice Scalia. And there's so much more. But I think one of the problems with conservatives is that they just concentrate on the pro-life issue. and they ignore so many of the other issues that a judge, social issues even, that a judge will be facing when it comes to court cases.
Right.
And
right.
I think we all need to, as conservatives, we need to join forces and not just look at the pro-life issue, but look at the, as you guys do, look at the cases as a whole and do our homework and not just depend on what this guy's pro-life, we don't care what else he does.
That's right. And to see what the cases say about their judicial philosophy.
Right, right.
Because
so
that's
going to
show you their frame of reference, their convictions, which then will play out against every case that they have.
Right. And so few people understand, I think, the role of a judge or even the role of the Supreme Court when it comes to rulings, because so many are convinced that when the Supreme Court, especially, hands down a ruling, that is indisputable and that's what they've done is the right thing, and they've used the Constitution to rely on reaching their conclusion, such as in the Obergefell decision.
That's right.
But increasingly, we see judges reinterpreting law and using international law in some cases to come to their conclusions. So it's very troubling.
That's right. And, of course, people need to be aware of it. And there are plenty of examples throughout history. But just because a judge says it doesn't make it so. If the U.S. Supreme Court tomorrow declared that under some due process clause, I mean, all the redheads need to be rounded up and put into a jail somewhere. I mean, I know that's a silly example. But no one would say, well, look, the Supreme Court said it. They've spoken. The discussion's over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. And it's true across the board. And when we all just sort of say, and I don't, and I know you don't, Diane, but other people, I hear them just say that once the Supreme Court has spoken, that's over.
Yeah.
All we do is give them all the more power to abuse and usurp legislative power.
Exactly.
And we
with the decision in 73, Roe v. Wade, we see the way pro-lifers are becoming even stronger and more powerful in their efforts to rein that back in some way, to where, you know, babies are not killed up the entire 9 months of gestation. So we've seen that even though it's considered the quote-unquote law of the land, there are ways in which to roll it back.
Absolutely. And the truth is, it's not the law of the land. The U.S. Constitution says, this Constitution and laws made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land.
Yeah.
Now, the court thinks that what they say is the supreme law of the land, but they're wrong.
Because they're called the Supreme Court. Maybe that's gone to their head. I don't know. Anyway, how can folks contact you guys?
Sure. They can find us at judicialactiongroup.com.
Okay, judicialactioningroup.com. And
I
do encourage our listeners to do that, to check in to that website and keep up to date on the nominees, the judicial nominees, because I believe, all told, doesn't Donald Trump have about, I'm not
he
sure.
He has over 100 nominations 100? That he's going to make.
Okay.
And so I would love for your folks to sign up as well for our JAG report, our emails that go out on these different nominees. And then when we have action items, too, we send those out, and we love to expand that list and get more people on it.
Okay, fantastic, because the judges, I mean, Obama has so changed the judicial landscape during his 8 years, putting so many liberal judges in all levels of the court system. You know, we concentrate on the Supreme Court, and so many people forget that there's so many other levels in the federal court system, and we can't forget that. Okay, thanks
much,
Philip, for being with us, and I encourage folks to go to judicialactiongroup.com. to check into the research that they've done.
That's great. Thanks a lot, Diane. I appreciate you.
Hey, you take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.